Hi everybody, this is Simon Ward, and this was the Triathlon Coach Swapcast, at least for the first 104 weeks of its existence. But going forward, I've changed the name to the High Performance Human Podcast. Now, if you're a triathlete listening to this, please don't be worried that I'm going to be ignoring you in the future. I'm definitely not. But what I want to do is reflect the fact that a growing number of multi-sport athletes are trying their hand at different events. They're training for ultra runs. They're perhaps branching out into long distance swimming and trying to swim the channel. They might even be changing tack completely and doing some mountain climbing or some long distance walking. But whatever they're doing, they need to have an approach that allows them to have excellent athletic performance. And this is what I call being a high performing human. We all know that it's easy to get so focused on our training that our family life falls apart or our work performance deteriorates. And yet high-performing humans seem to do well in all of these areas. And I wanted to reflect that. It'll give me the opportunity to broaden the reach of the podcast in terms of the guests we have on the show and broaden the appeal of the podcast in terms of the listeners that we attract. So that's what we're going to be doing in future. Today, I want to focus on one of those peripheral elements that are really, really important and perhaps somewhat underrated. And that is this one that we're going to look at this week, which is sleep. Way back in October 2017, I interviewed Nick Littlehales, the author of a book called Sleep, The Myth of 8 Hours, The Power of Naps, and The New Plan to Recharge Your Body and Mind. So I've dug into the archives, I've retrieved this podcast, and I want you to sit back and enjoy as Nick and I discuss why sleep is such an underrated element of athletic performance and why it can actually make a huge change if you could just get a little bit more sleep each night and pay a bit more attention to exactly what you do before you go to bed and after you wake up in the morning. So enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Simon Ward. Welcome to the SWAT Show. So this is the weekly 15-minute show featuring practical, usable advice from the best athletes, coaches and experts from the world of triathlon so that you can get the most from your training time and maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. So I'm Simon Ward. I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, which is the number one resource for performance-minded triathletes just like you. And if you go to my website, as a special gift, I will give you a condensed document with my best training and recovery strategies from the last 20 years of coaching and competing. All you have to do is go to thetriathloncoach.com or email triathlonsuccess to lucy@thetriathloncoach.com. So, in my introduction, I mentioned the best experts in the world of triathlon. And of course, as we all know, training is only one part of it. We have to get good recovery. And the best way of getting recovery is sleep. And that's why I'm really pleased to introduce Nick Littlehales, who is sportssleepcoach.com. Welcome, Nick.
Hi, Simon. Glad to join you.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining me, Nick. Sleep's something I've been really aware of in the last few years. And since I listened to a podcast with you on another show, and we had a brief chat last year, I've really become more interested in my sleep and particularly how irritable I feel if I don't get a good night's sleep. Is that something you experience in a lot of triathletes and sportsmen?
Yeah, I think a lot of the irritability comes from there's various sort of symptoms from poor quality sleep, poor decision making, alertness, awareness, just mood, motivation. And a lot of athletes will spend a lot of time worrying about sleep, trying to sleep, how many hours they get. And all of those things tend to build up. And so, you know, that can really change your character if you're not careful.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned poor decision-making. So I've noticed when I had a personal training business that poor decision-making extends to things like what sort of training you do. And also, probably the other important recovery factor for athletes, what sort of food you eat. So when you're tired, you tend to go for comfort food. When you're on top of things and fresh, you tend to choose the right foods.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's, decision-making can be quite significant. They can be very subtle, Simon. But sometimes it's like, it's so easy to make an excuse, to create an excuse for something that you're not doing. So whether you're making poor decisions or not, you're also making these little excuses to why you might not do this or do that. So it all sort of builds up.
Mm. Now, I've got a lot of triathletes that I coach who have very, very important jobs, jobs with a lot of responsibility. And they're trying to fit triathlon into that life as well as being a good parent and probably doing a lot of traveling. And in order to get more training in, they tend to cut down on the sleep. Now, you're probably going to tell me that that's a really bad idea.
Well, there's a kind of little bit longer answer to this particular question. I think in their lives, just like in elite athletes' lives, and you know, like we've got at Rio at the moment, you look at the schedules, and it's pretty much impossible for anybody to think about sleeping in long blocks of, say, up to 8 hours just at night because of schedules, because of traveling, as you say, because of all sorts of things that surround us on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So what we tend to do is, rather than look at it as one block of sleep at night, we take advantage of the other two natural sleep periods in the day between 1 and 3 and 5 and 7, where we can add in another cycle to balance it out. So, you know, principally, we look at 90-minute cycles because that's a measurement within a clinic where you go through a process of being measured in all sorts of different ways. If you use 90 minutes, you put 5 of those together, you get 7.5 hours, which is the classic 8-hour period. Put it between a constant wake time, and then you've got a series of times running back from that, which gives you the opportunity to either do 5 cycles, 4 cycles, 3 cycles, or even 2.
Yeah.
But what you balance then that with is midday, which is a totally natural time period for us to go into a sleep state. The brain wants to do it. The circadian rhythm of the day wants us to do it. And you can either put a 90-minute slot in there or a 30-minute slot. And then there's another one between 5 and 7, which is more attuned to a 30-minute slot. So as you plan your whole year, it's always about the next 7 days rolling in front of you. Things are outside of your control. People change things. You might have illness. You might have this. You might have a heavy training session prior to an event. So simply what you look at is, over the next 7 days, I want to achieve around 5 90-minute cycles a day. It's 35 cycles in a week. And whether I'm going to get them all at night or some midday, early evening is a matter of just planning it around and being able to have flexibility around what you're trying to do. So a lot of the reason why, if you cut down sleep and you're only doing it, say, at night, then that can be dangerous if you're not balancing it with another shorter period during the day.
Okay, I get you. So one of the things I find is a lot of the triathletes do sessions late at night. So they might be swimming from 9 till 10. They've got a 20-minute journey to get home, and then, of course, they need to have something to eat. And so their normal time of going to sleep is disrupted. And what they do then is they try to go to bed an hour later. Now, I think I heard you say before that they should forget that idea. And if they're getting up at 6 a.m., for instance, instead of trying to go to bed at 11, they should go to bed at 12, get 4 sleep cycles, and then catch up the next day. Have I got that right?
That's principally what you're doing. It's sort of like, you know, it's only too late to eat if you don't know what time you're going to sleep.
Right.
So with all the sort of games, and I work with, you know, teams like Real Madrid, and they play at much later times in Spain. They also have the circadian process pretty much locked into their system because they stop work between 1 and 3 every day as the siesta, and eat much later at night and have shorter periods at night, but get the breaks in the day. So I think when you're looking at it, one of the most common ones, it's one that I work to, is I'm an AM chronotype, which means I love the mornings. So my wake time is 6:30. That's sort of a nice balance through all the seasons. So from 6:30, I wander back in 90-minute cycles, and 5 cycles gives me 11 o'clock. So I would start to really set myself into pre-sleep mode to help my brain unlock the quality of sleep that I want from that 5-cycle period. But as you just said, if I've got to do things later at night, I want to do things later at night, I want to fix things in, and I've got children messing around with my schedules, is that I would simply then, the next cycle on from 11 is 12:30. So I wouldn't start my pre-sleep routine until 11 to be in bed for 12:30. And then you've got the various cycles, 2 a.m.'s next, 3:30, 5 o'clock and into 6.
It's
really trying to, you know, in some cases, I know the sort of start of your question, in some cases, you know, 35 cycles in 7 days, is this 7.5 every day? Fine. But when you put pre and post sleep periods with it, it's actually more like 10.5 hours allocated to recovery, which kind of, I think, for us in a modern world, and certainly for your listeners, it's just too much time to be allocating to it. So it's kind of, sometimes I'll look at it is, if I'm doing a 90-minute pre-sleep period, then I class that as a sleep period. If I'm having a sort of 60, 90-minute post-sleep period where I'm really trying to bring myself into the world to go and do what I need to do, because it's a very demanding world that we're in now, is I class that as a sleep period. So I might have a 5-cycle routine, but I'm only actually asleep for 3 cycles.
Right,
which
I'm with you.
Right? But yeah. What you're trying to do is not a quantity-quality thing, but you're trying to find out that, you know, things change every decade, every time. We're in a totally different world today than we were back in sort of the 90s. Completely different world. And so it's not about just using what we've always known about 8 hours, don't eat too late, get plenty of sleep, da-da-da-da-da. It's just, that's just simply not practical for most of the generations, never mind now. So you can, you know, if I found out that I could operate as well as perform and get through my day and I feel good and I feel motivated and I'm doing that from 6 hours a day, so 4 cycles a day, then I'm down to 28 cycles in a week. Now, if that 28 cycles releases what I want, then what I've done is I've stopped wasting valuable time sleeping. I've probably focused my whole approach on getting quality from what I'm doing. Yep. And then the backstop to that is that, you know, I take pressure off everything else that I'm doing because I'm releasing some space to take away the worry of trying to cram it in.
So then, because you're not stressed about not getting stuff done, you fall asleep quicker and you've got those good 4 cycles that you talked about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many of us, you know, all your listeners today, whatever time we allocate to it, how many do we sleep straight the way through that whole period without any disturbances, no wake-ups to go to the toilet or anything like that? When you actually look at it, even if you're using trackers to look at the data about sleep, we're allocating this time, but we're not really focused on it. So I'd much rather somebody concentrate on getting to a point, you know, if it's 11 o'clock for 5 cycles, they get to a point at 9:30 and they go into pre-sleep mode. They don't stay in wake mode. And by doing that, they'll get the quality out of the hours they spend to it. And so it's a bit more of a focus.
So you mentioned pre-sleep modes quite a lot there. So I know we've not got a lot of time left on this call. Can you just give me a couple of minutes explaining what might constitute a pre-sleep mode? I presume it's a sort of like it's a transition from go, go, go to complete rest, but there's going to be certain processes that you have to do. And I guess one of them's turning off all computers and phones and all that sort of stuff, isn't it?
I think the most important thing to do is rather than anybody focusing on the quality of their sleep and how many stages of sleep they go through and deep sleep stages and the hours they sleep, if you focus on the fact that from the point of wake, everything that you do throughout that period before you go towards another point when you're going into a sleep state will determine the quality of it.
Okay.
So you need to help. You need to start the day well. So all those normal things of getting daylight into your system because of these circadian rhythms, getting, you know, bowels and bladders emptied, getting fueled up, doing little mental challenges to bring your brain to a full wake state before you start pushing it. And as you go through the day, always thinking every 90 minutes, just a little break, just move away from what you're doing and just give a little break. That really helps the brain deal with all this information that we're getting.
Okay.
Concentrate on your relationship with light and dark. If you just tap in your browser, circadian rhythms of the day, you can see the images, you can see what's going on, and we're getting so out of sync with that process that we're struggling. And so when you start pushing it, then you need to realize that what your body wants to do at certain times, and light and dark plays a massive influence in our lives, so you're concentrating on that. And then when you get round to this final period, you are doing that. You're moving from light to dark. You want to be away from artificial light. You obviously want to, you know, the tech shutdown to stop stimulating your brain, but also even if you've got diffused, the blue light coming off the device is triggering a wake state. So you're moving from light to dark. Think red, yellow light. Think candlelight. Think sort of semi-darkness. You're moving from warm to cool, which could simply be a very quick, you know, rinse in the shower. Just take the body temperature up a little bit. That means any room you're going into to sleep will always be a bit cooler than you. So you don't have to have it at 16 or 18 degrees. It just needs to be cooler than you because that's the process. And it's all about what you eat. You know, if you're you don't want to go to sleep hungry, so you might want a little snack, but it's what type of snack. You don't want sort of heavy carbs being digested into long periods. You need to make sure that your bladder's empty. You don't want to be waking up later to go to the toilet. And it's all, you know, meditation, mind space stuff, yoga, stretching, even light exercise, just turning the wheels on a static bike. That's how it works.
How about alcohol? Because some of the stuff I've read suggests that although you feel like you're going to sleep when you've had a drink, actually the quality of that sleep isn't very good and your metabolism's actually still working to process the alcohol in your system. So if you're going to consume alcohol, would you suggest that that's done earlier on in the evening before this pre-sleep process starts?
I think all you have to, it's just like that old, you know, school message, is everything in moderation. And if you do like to, you know, have a glass of wine or whatever it might be, or a drink of alcohol, then all you're doing is, if once you go over the sort of normal units control that we have, or what you feel is just simply a nice, pleasurable thing to do with a meal or something, it does actually relax you a little bit. It might take the edge off the day a little bit. But if you add 2, 3, 4 glasses,
yeah,
now you're going to get sedated. And that's when you will sleep, but it's poor quality. So it's always about just moderation with things like that. Obviously, with elite athletes, just don't do it.
Okay, so let me just sum up, because I know you've got to get off for another call now. So we need to stop thinking hours of sleep, and we need to think about cycles of sleep based around that 90 minutes. We need to be more in tune with the circadian rhythms, so thinking about how we can utilize those windows between 1 and 3 p.m. and 5 and 7 p.m. to perhaps catch up on what we might have missed. We perhaps need, in the same way as athletes, we might plan our week of training. We need to plan our opportunities for rest and sleep during the week rather than just doing it randomly when it appears.
Absolutely.
We need to try and focus on a pre-sleep mode, which would include switching off artificial lights, trying to make sure we're not too hungry but not too full, restricting our fluid intake, shutting down all the tech stuff, and
clearing the mind, getting into a zone for sleep.
And also then a post-sleep mode, so slowly coming out of that and, as you said, introducing ourselves slowly to light and then going through that process and actually seeing those pre-sleep and post-sleep bits as part of our sleeping rather than just, you know, an awake state.
Yeah, it's a positive mind state if you look at it like that, don't you? So you're not just pre-sleeping because you're ending your day.
Yeah.
You're doing something positive and classing it like that and focusing it better.
Do you know what, Nick? I think there's going to be a lot of questions about this, and I definitely think we're going to need to get you back to expand on this and talk about how to create the right sleep environment and all the other stuff you
do. Hey, the Brownlees smashed it this week.
Well, they did. They did, absolutely. Good one for Yorkshire. Listen, Nick, if anybody wants to follow you, I've got your website. Is it sport or sports?
It's just sportsleepcoach.com.
Sportsleepcoach.com. Okay.
Yeah, sport, no S. Sportsleepcoach.com. A little bit tricky on the words, but
you've got a book coming out soon, haven't you, in October, is that right?
Yes, there's a book being published which is a little bit sort of autobiographical about how I sort of ended up becoming a sleep coach, but right at the heart of it is the R90 technique of redefining your approach to mental and physical recovery, which is at the heart of the book, and that comes out in October. Are available in all good bookstores, online, offline, and I'm even doing an audio one as well.
Okay, now I've done your little online questionnaire, which you send back and give a score about sleep effectiveness and efficiency. And my partner Fiona, she's done your more detailed one where she gets a 20-page report covering everything. So what I'll do is I'll get those details as well and put those on the show notes so that if anybody's interested in having their sleep assessed in more detail, they can do that through you as well.
Yeah,
is that good? And then
I would certainly advise anybody listening that it's not, if they're going to make any investments of buying mattresses or pillows or anything else around their recovery, the first little service on the site is, it'll cost them £95. They'll go through a process with me that will definitely redefine their approach. And they only have to do it once, and they'd never have to speak to me or anybody else again because they're set. So it's, if they've never done it before, just remind everybody that we're not going to be talking about bedtime stories, tucking you in about 8 hours a night, about telling you to do specific things. We're going to find a way that you can go through the day you want and maximize your recovery when you can in a more defined way. That's it.
Yep, and I think when I spoke to you last week, you said you were going to be able to come into SWAT, didn't you, into my membership group and be an expert there.
So yeah,
people can tag you on some of their specific sleep issues and you might be able to quickly answer some of their questions, yeah?
Yeah, of course. No problem at all, Simon.
Perfect. Nick, it's been fantastic. I'm sorry it was rushed, but I'm sure we'll get you back for another one. Enjoy your call with whoever it is and enjoy the rest of the Olympics.
All right. Cheers, Simon.
Thanks very much, Nick. Bye-bye.
Right then, that's a wrap for this week. Thanks again for listening. As always, I appreciate that you have plenty of choice out there in podcast land, so it does mean an awful lot to me when you come back regularly. If you enjoyed the podcast, please could you hop onto iTunes or Podbean and leave a rating and a comment if you can. Apparently, it's really good for the ratings, although to be absolutely honest with you, I have no idea how they work these things out. If you like the way I roll and you find some synergy with my approach to life and sport, maybe be interested in joining my SWAT Inner Circle training group. If you are, please just email beth@thetriathloncoach.com for more details. You can also use that email address to ask for my special free gift which I have for you, which are my top 25 tips on how to be a high performance human. Okay, that's all for this week. I'll be back next week with another great guest. So for now, enjoy the rest of your week.